All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Welcome to American Vindicta. Thank you for listening and watching. I have returned from the jungle with Timothy Alberino. Currently, we're working on all of our notes, getting all of our facts squared away. And later today, because it is Sunday, we are going to be recording what our preliminary investigation has come up with. And the debrief should be very interesting. Now, due to reasons, it's taken us a few days longer. Timothy's not feeling too good. I actually got sick. Tim got sick. So it's taking a little bit longer for this process for us to get all this together and put together. We thought hopefully Monday we would be able to put something out for you guys. But Monday is probably not going to be it. Hopefully Tuesday. Recently, Jamie Walden, Robert Griswold, and I had a discussion where we discussed many things. We discussed politics, war, we discussed prophecy, and we discussed varying degrees of Christianity and different beliefs. After talking this over with my wife, who gives me very strong, wise counsel, I have to agree with her that maybe the approach that we had is not always the best approach. As someone who ministers to people, who preaches to people, I don't want to condemn my actions by my mouth. I don't want to lead people astray by what we say or how we say it, nor do I want to lead them away from the faith by misrepresenting Christ. I am only human. Not only that, but I am sometimes a very intolerant of others kind of human. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not here to lie to you. There are plenty of times when I say stupid things. And then I don't go back and delete it during my editing because I go, you know what? Yeah, that's what I meant to say. And my flesh takes over. Like I say, just because I speak of something doesn't make me right or a subject matter expert. I'm giving you my opinions. My opinions typically are based off of my experiences with people, which has typically not been very good professionally for a decade or more. And so my world is kind of sculpted by my interactions with people. And that does not make it correct, doesn't make it right. But that is also the way that I communicate. I am trying to be kinder, gentler, softer, more understanding, because there are people out there with a mixed bag of experiences in life, like I and many others are. And God told me to reach men like me. So men like me typically only understand when they get yelled at, because typically those men were in the military or they were hard-nosed men. And so when you do try to minister to people, you do try to confront them about their sins. Sometimes they take it as an alpha male check, where I'm checking their ego. And yet a lot of times it is conviction that is happening within their hearts. And they think I'm poking and making fun at them. They think that I'm here to abuse them verbally. I'm not. I'm not here for that. I'm here to spread the gospel. And maybe I do, and maybe I don't do it the best way. I am not here to sugarcoat anything. That is not how I was made. That side of me is reserved for my children and my wife. That nicer, kinder, gentler side. Though through perseverance and wise counsel, my wife and I have had a discussion that, maybe it is time for Doug to start to turn a new leaf. Because we will catch more flies with honey, as the term goes. And boy, she beat me over the head with this one. Not physically, of course, but she cut me to the quick. That shepherds don't go and beat their sheep when one is lost. They go and they find it and they celebrate it, such as the parable that Christ talks about. Finding that one lost sheep. 99 are completely safe, and we find that one lost sheep and we celebrate it to the top of the moon. The angels in heaven shout for joy that the one lost sinner was saved. But if I'm over there with my staff and I'm beating you for running away or for not paying attention to the direction of the herd, well, am I honoring God? God put it on my heart last year that in all things that I do, am I honoring God? Am I glorifying Him? Many times I will confess to you, that side of me slips. The flesh speaks for me. The law of sin, the thing that I wrestle against much is swearing. I know many of you have heard it. Few of you have complained. Few of you have complained. But I'll tell you that I'm not supposed to swear. I'm not supposed to act that way. I'm supposed to, in a leadership role that I have assumed, I'm supposed to act differently. And to try to inspire other men, I have to also take my own advice and act a bit differently. Act sometimes is the way I tell people to act. Now, I'm not a raging lunatic who walks around cursing 24/7, but being raised by very hard men, being raised in the military, and then being raised throughout my manhood in law enforcement, which is nothing but very hard men who are also former military, swearing is as simple for me as breathing. So it is something that I wrestle against quite a bit. And I apologize. I should not speak that way. On a similar note, though, as someone who's trying to minister to people, which is what God has called me out of my previous employment to do, some of you also take advantage of your anonymity. And you willfully abuse people that are feeding you. You willfully swear at us. You use your different biblical cosmologies. I know I poke and pick fun at the flat earthers quite a bit. I actually have quite a few friends now since starting this journey that are flat earthers. I have nothing against you. I could care less about flat earth. I hope you believe in Christ more than flat earth. Bam, done. Other than that, your beliefs are your beliefs. How you lay your head on your pillow at night is up to you. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. But some people are very militant and off-putting, which would also say I'm militant and off-putting, and that's fair. I believe what I believe, and I believe that a candy-coated, sugar-coated, weakened scripture is how we got here. Now, my tone, my rate of speech, this is me. This is how I speak. I do not become animated and read faster when I read the Bible. I speak as I do, actually, when I spoke to criminals. In the daddy voice mode. Because nothing put the fear of God in men when they saw a man who presumed the paternal fatherly figure dealing with an adolescent child. Now, that provokes some of you. You think because of the way I speak that I speak with some sort of supremacy. I don't. You think that I speak matter-of-factly. I don't. I'm just speaking to you the way that I have spoken to adults for the last decade or more, 15 years at least, who have shown previous patterns of behavior that, for one thing, are not approving or acceptable in society, but also not approving or acceptable as a Christian and can lead others astray, of which then your speech inflames me, which means the way you write your little comments and your little emails, you don't want to have a conversation. You want to have an argument, and you don't want to hear someone's other side. You just want me to give up and say you are right, or you want me to believe in whatever you say so that you have that affirmation that you're right, Doug's wrong. Look, I even convinced Doug. And trust me, when people think like that, it's weird because I'm like this big, this little bitty guppy in this big pond. So if me, who barely anyone listens to, says anything from the Bible, and you take offense to it, it's not Doug saying it, it's coming from the Bible, that's your fault, your problem. That's called conviction. And maybe you should pray about why you're feeling that way. Don't think this wasn't me 5-6 years ago. Don't think this wasn't me when my wife would be confronting me about my sins and my errors and say, hey, don't get mad at me. Wrote in a book that's a lot smarter than you are. One of the clever things that Satan has done, men, is convinced us that we're right. We can solve our own problems. We're always right. We have intellect. We have a superiority complex. And that, how dare you talk down to me kind of complex, right? That, how dare you address my sin? How dare you address my weakness? How dare you take the platform I was standing on and take me down a peg or two? Because my ego reigns supreme in my life, not my understanding or my humility, but I let my ego ride that wave and I just follow behind the wake of my ego. Any of you like that at work? You're known, or at home, you're known as the egomaniac. I've worked for quite a few egomaniacs, both men and women. And I'll tell you, sometimes I don't know who's worse, the man or the woman, the Jezebel spirit or the Ahab spirit. Sometimes I can't tell who is worse to deal with. I know I don't like dealing with any of them. I know for a long time, I used to tell people, I just want to be left alone. I just want to be left alone. Okay, Sarah, go put it up. Go give it to mommy. Bye. I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want to be provoked. I don't need to share with you my past. I don't need to explain my thought process to you. Just tell me what you need done, and I'll get it done and ensure that the money gets my bank account and we'll all be copacetic. And that's the way I lived my life for quite a long time. And it worked for quite a long time until I became a Christian. And then that way did not work because I had this thing called conviction. And in simplistic terms, without swearing, because I'm really, I had about an hour and a half long conversation with the Lord this morning, praying about quite a few things, especially about how to talk to you men and how to address you women. Let me say this. Sisters are constantly leaving me emails. They're messaging me. God bless every one of you. My main support of people who help support what we're doing here are the sisters, are the women, the lionesses, the mama bears. Not so much the men. I wonder why that is. That's fine. But I want you to consider that what the women ask me many times is, for one thing, they say, Doug, thank you for taking a stand and for putting scripture back in my husband's face in a way that a man can understand. All right, that's a good compliment. The other one is, thank you for taking a stand in general and not being afraid to say what needs to be said. I forget, I'm very hard-nosed. Eloquent speech is very alien to to the way that I approach people and their problems. I'm a very good wordsmith. However, my anger gets the best of me. Almost always, my anger gets the best of me. It's part of my sin. It was my rage. It's part of my many downfalls. It was my mouth and my fist and my stupid attitude that I can fight the world and win. Man, I used to think back when I was younger, I could walk out in front of a truck and it could hit me and it's probably going to flip over me. That was my ego, right? That's the devil filling my ego up, because it wasn't filled with Christ, so it was filled with pride. But the women will ask me, Doug, what's your advice for women? You know, and this is the most simplistic way I could say this is, I don't have very good advice for you. For one thing, I'm not a woman. If you can't tell, I don't identify as a woman. What madness of a world that we live in. But how can I explain to you, sisters, what to do when I can't even get my point across to most men? Most men. Because as I look at the analytics, 70% of who listen to me, of whom mainly only speaks to men, right? And like, I don't do clickbaity stuff with pictures. I'm not over here producing movies. I don't sell anything except, you know, self-defense, what some people would say, gunfighting stuff, right? Very geared towards men. I mean, look at everything that I have in here. You don't see puppies and flowers anywhere. So I'm not exactly geared towards, you know, ministering to women. Not that I won't, because the women are who mainly listen. 70%. That's who mainly listen to me are women. The 30% of you men, ask yourself, why is that? And where are all the brothers at? What are they listening to? Is Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson what feeds them? Or is the word of God feeding them? You don't have to listen to me. I could care less if you listen to me. If three people listen to me and repent and turn from their ways and turn back to Christ and stay on that small, narrow path, this is a success. Even if one does, what I'm doing is a success. If 99% of you cuss me out in the comment section and one of you says, dude, I get it. I get it. I see my error. It's in my mirror. It's me. It's what I do. It's my sin. It's my pride. It's my anger. It's my need to look for knowledge, because I have a hole in my heart and I have found that Christ is not sufficient yet. And if that is you, then that's because you have not surrendered fully to Christ, which, let me explain to you what that meant to me, because that was me. All right. I never went down the whole flat Earth route. That I just found it to be silly. Hollow Earth, all day long. I'll believe in Hollow Earth. Dude, I crawl in caves all the time. Hollow Earth is a thing. And look, once again, not to hate on flat earthers. Guys, I really don't care. I really don't care. I have quite a few friends who are that I've made since doing this who are in constant email with me. And we don't ever talk about flat Earth. Not that I won't, but because it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because repentance is what should be relevant. What's going on in these times, training, prepping, praying, getting right with God, opening up that conduit between you and the Lord, being a better man for God, being a better man for your woman, for your wife, being a better man for your children, being a better man, a better father. For that son that you're going to raise, who's going to walk in your footsteps, or that daughter who's going to see you and emulate you as her potential next husband. She's going to see the way daddy raised her, or didn't, or abused her, or belittled her. And that's who she's going to pick. Hopefully, not end up with. But statistics are proving that women with daddy problems, a lot of times they go through some terrible times with the dating now. I speak it in human ways, as Paul says. I am not perfect. Don't try to be. I'm not going to fit the average look of a guy behind a pulpit. Not trying to. I don't have a church. Don't want one. I don't have a following. Don't want one. I don't sell books. Don't plan on writing one. I wish one day I could figure out what I'm going to do with the Record Chronicles stuff because I've been writing a script for that for quite a while. But you know what? When God says, it's more important to work on that than it is to do what you're doing now. I'll go back to it. And if I never finish it, hey, whatever. Men were to be examples, not just examples for our children, but examples for our wives. We're to be examples for each other. We're to be examples, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Examples of what Christ is in us. For the longest time, the whole tough guy thing was my example, and it didn't do very well for me, to be honest with you. It didn't do very well. I mean, of course, in the world that I was in previously, did fine, but there's a reason also why I got out of that world and I didn't really enjoy the camaraderie of some of the people I was around. But now I'm in this world and I face a similar thing where I'm probably not enjoyed by many people. That's fine. I don't know why you listen to me if you don't like what I say. Some people also just like to troll. They just like to send hateful comments and they like to stir the pot and cause strife. And you'll get warned twice and then you're getting blocked. Or they love to send me a book about how much they hate me. I have been itching and I'm not going to do it because I don't see any benefit in this, but I have been itching at reading the amount of emails that I have saved, that are very negative, that are all from Christians. And I mean, very negative. I don't think I've said anything that's like very negative, unless it just offends you. Well, I'm sorry if it offends you. But to outright slander me, or to curse me out, whatever, man, whatever gets your rocks off is I don't believe in whatever you believe in. Or I don't look the part. I remember I got the riot act read to me one time because I have tattoos, my hair's in a ponytail, I had a beard. I'm not wearing a suit, not in a pulpit. My logo looks like, Lucifer made it. I'm Illuminati. I'm deep state, I'm CIA, I'm FBI, I'm all these things. I can tell you this much. If I was any of those things, I would have a studio with a much better camera, much better lighting. Someone would be reading my emails for me, so I don't have to do that. I would probably not drive around in a, at least now, 2 weeks out of every month, broken down 2000 Ford Excursion, which is finally back up and running. Hallelujah to that one. That's a learning experience. Oh, Ford Excursions. Why can't they just remake that vehicle and make it like they do all the other new vehicles? I don't understand it. It's a tank of a vehicle, a tank. And yet it's costing me an arm and a leg to replace every little thing. And I don't make that much money. So I'm like, this month, I guess I'm not driving my truck. Every time I've tried to go to Bob Griswold's to do training, every time I have attempted to drive that truck to there, and it just didn't feel like going that month. So, whatever, man. I'll continue to work on it until I get my mechanic's license. But what I wanted to say is this, in a nutshell, that's Alberino right now. We're supposed to be recording something pretty soon. Look, this is what I want to say. I'm not perfect. I don't get friendship pay. So if I hurt your feelings, then it's probably conviction, because I'm not going to say things to outright slander people, or to try and destroy your beliefs. I understand that Jamie comes off a little abrasive every now and then, but he's very good intent with what he says. But we in my family observe all the feasts. We observe all the Jewish feasts. We do our best to keep the Sabbath day holy, and to not do very much except for just, hang out as a family and catch up on the word, and just rest. I have a tallit that I use whenever I pray. It's my own little tent. We're to be more Jew than we are Gentile. Especially if you're talking about becoming a Christian, you should be Jew in heart. And people will take that and conflagrate it. They'll take that, what I said, and then they'll apply some like weird like Christian supremacy tone to it. I'm gonna read out of Romans. I'm gonna read it in my daddy voice, because I as I was reading it this morning, I felt that the way God was leading me to read Romans was it was a citation that needed to be read to the Gentiles, and not gently. And when I say that, I mean to say that the same problems we see now with Christians towards Jews and Jews towards Christians, the same thing we're experiencing now, we experienced that when Christ was alive. So there is nothing new here. We're only addressing the same old fight. I hope sometimes that my speech, maybe it can scare some of you straight. Maybe some of my examples of the poor decisions of my life can scare some of you straight. I'm not going to sit here and give you war stories. I'm not that guy. I might tell you some funny stories or some funny cop stories or relate to certain incidents based off of my experiences. But you don't see medals on my wall. You really don't see anything military related at all. You see a lot of police stuff, maybe, because I did enjoy being a police officer. I did enjoy protecting people, and I did believe in my oath. And I still do. I wish others did. And so many people take advantage of the positions and the authorities and the powers that they're given, not just those who are in law enforcement, but also to those who are ministers, pastors, preachers, reverends, priests. I am not one of those people. I'm not looking to get rich, and I definitely am not. I'm not looking to become a celebrity. I will rebuke you if you attempt to even treat me like that. I am an everyday average Joe, run-of-the-mill guy who might have a little bit more gun time than you, a little bit different experiences than you. Other than that, what's the difference between you and I? We all breathe the same air. We all drink water the same way. We all eat the same way. And we're all going to die and get put in the ground or maybe incinerated by fire. Who knows, right? Depends on when the Lord comes back and where you're at that point in time, both physically and spiritually. But I see so many men who have made themselves demigods, even amongst those that I know. And it grieves the spirit to see it. And it's off-putting. It's off-putting to say, look at all this miraculous life-saving stuff that I can do, that I can say. And then, they're nothing more than a TV salesman. Now, maybe that doesn't make me much better because I do talk about training. Shameless plug, we got training coming up November 10th, 11th, 12th. I think we got 16 people signed up. That's awesome. Praise God. December 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's going to be a little cold, but we're going to have a 4-day course that's going to be at Ready Made Resources. That's going to be a patrolling based course. I'm going to teach you patrolling, working in teams. I'm actually going to be your team leader in some instances, and I'm going to lead you through a few missions, night and day, let you see how it looks and let you take charge and let you lead a team. We're going to put you through Uncle Charlie's Shoot House, or what I would like to call Doug's Church, the Shoot House. We're going to put you on the live fire range, let you squeeze a few triggers. Hopefully we got enough time to squeeze in a few meals. We'll be serving meals. The fellowship part is the most important part. It's actually my favorite part, is the fellowship. Sit around and talking, seeing what's on people's minds. Some people need ministering to, some people need praying with, some people just need to unload burdens. And you're, for whatever reason, I would be considered the person most relatable to unload burdens on. That's fine. I am whatever God uses me as. Just as long as I stay humble. That's really all I've ever asked. To stay humble, to have good discernment and wisdom, and have God's word wrote on my heart, and that's what comes out my mouth. Unfortunately, most of the time, that's not what comes out my mouth, and I talk worse than a sailor at times, and I apologize. Repent of that almost almost daily. There's a few days where I can go and then stomp my toe and step on my son's Legos. Oh, those things hurt. Or whatever little thing happens, and then I let loose and I swear and I get convicted and I repent. The point is to live that way, a repentant lifestyle. We're creatures of flesh. We're corrupted. We're filled with sin. This body is sin. And as we read in Romans, you'll learn more and more about this. I don't have to add any context to Romans from 1 to 11. I don't have to add any context. The words are as plain as can be. As plain as can be. Many people ask me right now, Doug, what's your thought on the state of Israel? Is this truly Israel? Are these truly the Israelites? In my mind, yes, they are. And I'm going to tell you to search the scriptures. Don't trust me. I'm not your Wikipedia. Doug's not your Google search engine. You go and look for it. Look for it in the Bible. If you need, after you find it in the Bible, if you need to have more context, look at it historically. Historically. I think there are a few theologians who get this wrong. I know a close friend of mine, or two or three at this point, who don't believe that Israel, right now, the state of Israel, is actually the Israel of the Bible, and that the Jews are not the Jews of the Bible, and that the Hebraic language that they're speaking is not the actual language. I don't know where they derive this from. That's their opinions. I'm not going to get captivated and captured by their opinions. That's not what God has shown me. And I search God diligently. I don't search God enough, but I search him diligently. My hour and a half long conversation with the Father this morning, I felt like all I was doing was just pacing back and forth in my kitchen, you know, asking questions to answers that I didn't know if I was going to get answers to, or if I already knew the answers. I just didn't want to admit them to myself. Like, Doug, stop swearing. But to recognize your own faults as a man and as a leader, and to not be afraid to let people see that you have weaknesses, to let people see that you can change, to let people see that you are genuine. That's never a weakness as a man, to see that, to see reproof. What is a weakness, men, is to take all those emotions and convictions and to just drink it down with your whiskey and to never bring it back up. Never apologize for when you're wrong. I know guys in this business who will not apologize when they're wrong, didn't apologize to me when he was wrong. I know plenty of men who use scripture not as a spiritual weapon, but as a form of manipulation to make money. To make money. And it makes me sick. I don't make money doing what I'm doing. I survive off of my VA disability and donations, and working with Hodges, Dave Hodges, and then what I get from two sponsors. None of that is even close to it's about, yeah, $1,200 a month. Yep, that's about what I make. So when I say, like, you know, we live on your donations, I mean it. I mean it. And I'm okay with that. I don't want to be the guy who sits there with his hand out. I've seen too many of those guys. I hate asking for money, period. Though I get told by people in this profession all the time, Doug, you got to mention it every single day or the people will forget. I try to focus more on mentioning Jesus every day so no one forgets that. And that Christ is sufficient enough, and that if the believers at the church get convicted and want to fund what I'm doing and tithe to what we're doing, perfect. If not, whatever, man. God's going to feed me. So that's a big, long tangent to tell you that, you know, sometimes I'm stupid and arrogant and ignorant. I'm only human, but I'm trying. Doing better. Thank God I have a wife who cares, who is strong enough to stand up to me. I may be slightly intimidating at times. I don't try to be, but I am dang sure hard-headed at times. And my pride and my ego get in the way. One of the things I asked God to do a long time ago was to take my need to fill my ego away, that I'm so glad he has, because at this rate, I really don't care what people think about me. But my wife is a praying woman. She's a righteous woman. And when the spirit in her is grieved by what I do or what I say, I listen, finally. I listen. She's the one who brought me to Christ, so why would I not listen? And there are men out there like me, listening to me right now, who are probably exactly like me. Exact same problems. Sometimes the way that you view those problems is the way I used to do it. Friends, I'm telling you, learn from my experience. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. It's not worth it. Repent and turn away from your sins. Yeah, it is that easy. Yeah, it is that easy. Stop watching what you're watching that's causing you to sin. Stop talking to who you're talking to that's causing you to sin. Are you around people that are corrupting you? Separate yourself from them. Does the drink corrupt you? Put the drink down. Do the cigarettes corrupt you because you're addicted? Throw the cigarettes away. I was addicted to drinks, and I was addicted, by drinks, I mean alcohol, and I was addicted to cigarettes. That's all. Honestly, that's sometimes the only way I could sleep. I had to drink to sleep. Otherwise, this, my mind wouldn't turn off. And for the longest time, I never had good dreams. They were terrible dreams. And so drinking helped me to stay numb. The problem is, I was numb in my marriage. I was numb to the feelings and sensations of enjoying my family. And all I knew was to work, 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 because I needed my retirement, my benefits, my vacation, my promotions. And I missed so much of my children. I was gone for almost 10 years. I was gone at least 5 months or more, probably close to 6 months in total every year. And I missed half of my kids growing up because I chose a career and not my family. And I pay for that. I pay for that all the time. I'm trying to rebuild what I lost. I'm trying to regain the ground that I gave up because I was the center of my universe. Men, if you're living that way, don't waste your marriage. Don't waste your life. Don't waste those chances that you got to spend with your kids. I'm a homebody now. I'm with my kids as much as physically possible. I'm with my wife as much as physically possible. Never been happier. Never made less money. Never been happier. It's not always about the money. It's not always about the career. For a lot of you guys locked into military, locked into law enforcement, there are other things you can do, fellas. There are other things you do. The macho-ness and the bravado and all the cool, tough guy stuff, you know where that gets your kids when they don't see you? Nowhere. Oh, yep, my dad's a cop. Yep, big, strong, tough guy. Yep, dad's in the military. He's always gone. He always misses my birthdays, and the wife, always missing, whatever vacation time we had. Or so many memories lost, cannot be returned. So many stupid decisions can't be taken back. So when God told me to speak to the men like me, the men in my age group, those 40s and under, I mean, guys in your 50s, if you're like me, You don't have that much longer to correct the course that you're on. You could be with the Lord any moment. That's for any of us. Yeah, sure. I'm not shooting in 4K video, and you don't see me in a helicopter hovering over a volcano, and you don't see all the cool, Alex Jones animated features, and I don't have a ton of guests on here. I actually don't like having guests. I'll be honest with you when I say that, because sometimes I think it takes away from what I'm doing. Sometimes it's a good break for my brain, to have other people do most of the talking, but that's not what God told me to do. So I'm really kind of going away from what God told me to do with this, and this is not a talk show where I bring on a bunch of guests every day. That's not what this was meant to be. And so you're going to start seeing actually less and less people coming on here. If they do not, in my personal opinion, have an impactful message, they're not going to be here. If I go down at all because YouTube hates me, well, that's fine. If I go down because I'm swinging for the fences, trying to become a celebrity, and I do everything possible to get popularity and clickbait and subscribers, and then, every time you look up, if you're a YouTube content creator, every time like you look on your studio page, there's always like a new way to make money, new way to generate money. Make a payment wall on your YouTube page for that specific content. Well, heck, I mean, at that rate, you're paying for private viewership for this guy, and then this guy, and then this lady's show, and then my Patreon, and supporting people. And I know you guys support people across the board, and praise God for that. We wouldn't be here without your support. Most of us, buy my this, buy this, buy that, go to this training, go to Doug's training. A lot of times it just seems like we're out here with a fishing pole and we're casting and hoping to hook someone with a lot of dollars. That's the way it comes across that way. It really does. And that's not what this is meant to be. So, I'm going to do this one time only a show where I'm going to say, if you feel like giving a donation, we have a Patreon that you can sign up to. I do nothing special on Patreon, except for like, I'll do a Ask Me Anything Zoom call with everybody. Sometimes three people show up for, and sometimes everybody shows up for. It would be cool if everyone would always show up, but people got normal lives and don't really always got time. That's understandable. To all my Patreon guys out there and gals, love you. Thank you for supporting me and my silly antics. I tried my best right now to try and do graphic designs to make t-shirts to help, fund what we're doing. If you guys knew how much it was just to get like 100 t-shirts of small, medium, large, extra large, and double XL or triple XL for guys like me, man, I mean, right there, I'm at like $5,000 to $8,000 for drop ship. So I would have to go to Alibaba, a Chinese company, and buy the cheapest shirts at like $2 a piece, made by like slave children in a factory somewhere, and then buy those shirts, have them sent to me, and then send those shirts to some dude here in the US who would then put my graphics on there for like $20 a shirt, and then upcharge you like another $20 or $30 in order to get back what it cost in the shipping. What it costs for me to buy the shirt, okay, so buying the shirt, getting the shirt sent to me, sending the shirt to a graphics person, having the graphics put on there. Oh, by the way, paying for someone to make the graphics right there. I'm not like realistically for the graphics design, for like this graphic design, even though I drew the whole thing, I'm not a digital graphics person. That was $90 to have that made. So let's add $90 onto one graphic shirt. Mean, guys, I'm at like, I think it was close to $140 it would cost me to have one shirt made with a unique custom graphics and then trying to get you to buy it and to pay taxes on it. And we're roughly at like 150 with sending it to you. And I'm only going to have that shirt for like $30 or $40 at retail price. So for the longest time, I don't make anything back. And I put a lot forward, which of I don't have. We already went through all of my retirement to try and keep us afloat since we've been doing this. So, yep, for many of you right now, they were asking for merchandise. Sorry. I don't have merchandise because, wow, does that take a lot of money to get merchandise and to have an online store? Because if not, I got to store it all here. And then every time someone buys something on the website that I would create a merchandise website for, I would have to see it and make sure I have it in stock and then go down to the post office and send it to you. And I'm one dude, so I just can't do any of that. I get why some of these other bigger name guys, they got like 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 people working for them. Because the speaker is the show pony. Everybody else is logistical support, so the show pony can get up there and speak. So, yep, that was a good long complaint. If you want merchandise, Patreon. That's where it's that logo, the show logo, and that's where you get the merchandise from. There's a sticker, a shirt. Come on, guys, Patreon. What's all there? Sticker, a shirt, a hoodie. I did have a Redbubble at one point in time, but they flagged me because they said that I was. How can I use this and not get kicked off of YouTube? I have two strikes against me still. I was against reprobates. Hopefully that'll work and still be on YouTube. And so, yep, I got kicked off Redbubble for that one. I don't have a PayPal because PayPal would never tell me why I'm no longer allowed to have a PayPal, or Vimeo, why I'm no longer to have a Vimeo account. They both blocked me. So it's GiveSendGo, Cash App, and a post office box. Because there's been a few people who've been asking, like, Doug, how do we donate to you? It's all on the website, www.AmericanVindictaShow.com. Another thing that I like literally never talk about is my website. Currently, I don't do anything with it. It's just what I had to have a business. This is my business. This podcasting, radio talk show host, whatever you want to call it, man. This is what I do for a living now. That and try to train people. And in regards to the training stuff, $850 is a lot of money for 3 days of training to some of you. That's a lot of money. Trust me when I say most guys are going to charge you $900 a day, 1 day. So $2,700 or $850. I'm not teaching you flat range stuff. So for all you guys who want to go through like some really epic shooting course, I'm not going to waste your time with that. Can I do all of it? Absolutely, I can. Can I teach you all the stuff that I learned. Absolutely, I can. And if you don't know any of that, I'll do my best to teach you. That's why we're starting to incorporate some live fire in what we're doing. But I don't want that to be the heavy basis of what we're doing, because scenario-based training with the shoot house, with role players, that is so much more important. It's important because paper targets aren't going to fight you. Trying to shoot as fast as possible, do the coolest speed reload, tactical gear, speaking all the lingo and wearing every different kind of patch that you can find. That is not what's going to keep you alive most of the time. It's this. It's your brain, that M1 brain that God gave you, or that the Marine Corps issued some of you. Knowing how to speak to people, seeing the problem develop, and immediately formulating in your mind, how am I going to handle this guy? Am I going to use my verbal judo? Am I going to maintain a safe distance between me and the subject, the assailant, the person who's causing me problems? It's a problem that has to be solved. It's why I say it's people problems are the problems that you need to learn how to reckon with. People are the number one hunter predatory creature on Earth. Number one, people. So I tell you right now, what would I be more afraid of? Being in the Serengeti with the lions and the hyenas and the rhinos and the elephants, or being in a prison filled with murderers, rapists, molesters, mafia guys, assassins, terrorists, white supremacists, black supremacists, Hispanic supremacists, Yakuza, Italian gang, Russian gang, Armenian gang, the Irish gang, the Irish mafia, like been in there with all of them. Serial killers, sociopaths, psychopaths, people who have robbed corporations blind, corrupt politicians, corrupt police, corrupt military, seen them all. Those people are the reason why I train as hard as I do, and why I push on it as hard as possible, because we're every day we are filling the void in the empty mattress that's in a cell. Every day we're filling it with a body. And in those penitentiaries, the medium facilities, the low facilities, federal, private, state, the county, they're all being filled with criminals. Every day, criminality is increasing. Active shooters are increasing. Look what just recently happened. More active shooters. Look at the terrorism that's happening in the Middle East and the terrorism that the FBI and all their mothers are saying that's going to happen again here in the United States. It's going to happen again in higher frequency. Violence is not going away. You are not going to be able to intimidate violence with kindness. Eventually, you have to arm good men and set them loose. And that day alone will be dangerous, because then everyone is going to be Wyatt Earp, and everyone's going to have their own idea of what street justice is and vigilantism is. And maybe the rule of law completely breaks down. And at that point in time, the safest thing to do is to get as far away from people as possible. But in between where you're at and your bug out location, you're going to experience a people problem. Whether it's because your tire went flat while you're driving and you got to pull over, you better be watching your six. Heck, you better be watching the entire clock. People can come out of nowhere. It can be a woman. Hey, do you need some help? And all of a sudden, her friend is coming around from the side or from behind, trying to take advantage, using a distractionary device, a person, a child, a dog, a disabled car. We just need help. No, what they did was they ambushed you and they lured you in. And then you're going to come across people that are completely empathetic, who you would think would be on your side. That would include military, law enforcement, veterans, pastors, the good old boys. And they're going to see people in distress. And for whatever reason, there's a fuse that blew in their mind. And they're going to do something very evil, nefarious. Don't think that it can't happen from the people that you thought were supposed to be your hero, your savior. I once was an evil man, and I know what it looks like. And I've been around evil people, and I know how they act. Not everyone is a Christian, even if they say it. You got to use discernment. Sometimes that discernment is a split second of what do I do? It's me, it's my family, and it's a random guy walking up. Maybe the best conversation is with my Glock in your face. Sorry, no offense, but I'm not taking any chances. And that other person may literally be you coming to ask someone that he thinks is like him for help, but you don't know it because you lived in a paranoid schizophrenia delusion for the last 20 years because all you listen to is doomsday, you know, people all the time. Heck, maybe I'm one of those. I don't know. And you're scared. Everybody's a threat. Everybody's a target. Everybody's a problem that has to be solved. And in a lot of ways, yeah, that's true. It's true. People can instantaneously turn on you. And I've seen it. People are very crafty, good liars. I've seen it. Some people, they live for the thrill of luring you into the spider web. It's part of what gets them off. They love it. That trap that they set for you, the fowler's snare that you walk right into. They convince you to walk right into it, just like January 6th, right? Those people are out there. I say it all the time. You never know. The lights go out and Ed Gein is your next door neighbor. John Wayne Gacy's your roommate. How do you know? How do you really ever know? And thus, with Doug saying this all the time, I may, you know, make some of you a little paranoid. It's not paranoid. It's hypervigilance. Be kind. Be polite. Have a plan to kill every single person that you meet. That doesn't make you insidious, doesn't make you nefarious, it doesn't make you a monster, it makes you very serious for the times that were coming. I would say we're coming, are here. Not everything is as it seems. You just don't know. You don't know what you don't know, right? And I hope and I pray that the Lord shows us the way, that the Lord gives us this discernment, this idea of what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to go, who are we going to meet up with? And when we do meet people, are we going to know we're same? We're both Christians. Are we going to know it? The Bible says that they're going to know us, the people who are not us. And those who are not us will still claim to be Christian and righteous and our peers. And they'll look at you like you are scum, like you're the vermin that needs to be exterminated. Like the world has viewed the Jews for a long time. Like how many Christians, some may leave a comment right now, view Jews right now. Though don't you know you were grafted into that tree? It's because many of you don't read your Bibles. You don't. If you did, you would know this. You would know the heart of the Father if you prayed for this. But for many of you, your religion has become the United States of America. For many of you, your God has become Donald Trump. It has become your guns, your deer hunting buddies. It's become everything but Christ. And occasionally, we show up for Easter and Christmas, and that's it. But we'll rah-rah all day long that we're Christians. But we won't tell you about it, but instead, we'll tell you about what we believe you should believe. And if you don't believe what we believe, because we're not talking about Christ right now, then you're not an actual Christian because of whatever book you read or don't read from, because of whatever. It's deception. It's lies and deception. I believe that's a prophecy that's being fulfilled that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. Be ye not deceived. Men, don't be deceived. You don't have to play the tough guy on TV while you're at home. Be vulnerable to your wife. Be accepting of her love. To your children. Enjoy that time you got with them. I know men who could never see their children again. They can never see their wife again. Because their blood's calling out right now on the streets of Fallujah or Ramadi or Baghdad or in Afghanistan. They'll never come back. They were here and then they were gone. There are cops that I know who were here and now they're gone. Enjoy the time you have. This is going to sound ridiculous. Stop taking life so dang seriously, too. Go on vacation with your family. Take your little boys and little girls out fishing. Go take them rock hunting. Go spend time with them. Go sit down and draw something stupid with them. I save every picture that my kids, I got five of them, every picture that they draw for me. I do my best to save them. Which eventually I'm going to have another house in order to put all the pictures. But it's because one day I want to look back and just laugh at the times when we had such peace. We had days where dreams could actually come true. And we squandered them. Because when our peace is stolen from us, when the peace is taken away from this country, we may not be afforded the opportunity to get our kids some crayons and some paper and say, there, draw me something. You may be too busy collecting water and food, staying up all night to make sure you don't get ambushed in the middle of your sleep. I think our days of peace and safety is quickly coming to an end. I hope not. I'm not a doomsayer. I wish for peace. I have not known peace, but I do wish for it. I hope for it. I pray for it. I don't want to be doing this right now. No, what I was working forward to was to have my mountainside cabin somewhere up in Montana or northern Wyoming, to stare down at the mountains, to get ready for hunting elk and big-bodied deer and maybe a bear every now and then, and sitting on my porch on my rocking chair next to my wife and enjoying coffee, watching the kids and the dogs play and the cows and the horses and the chickens. That's what I wanted. I didn't want fame. I didn't want my face out there. I don't even want to be just a guy in the background, which I've been for, you know, some of these guys that you know. I just wanted to be left alone. I just wanted to be left alone. That's not what God had for me. Whatever. Such is life and the will of the Lord. But for some of you, you better take full advantage of the time that you have. Right your wrongs now. It's never too late to apologize for being an idiot. It's never too late to give that extra long hug. I have friends of mine that I pray that God has a breakthrough in their hearts, in their minds, breaks down those walls, relieves those burdens that they carry around so much. It drags themselves down. It drags their family down. It drags their marriage down. You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice. You can only imagine what they experience at home, the loneliness that's in them, the loneliness and separation that's probably in their marriage, the want for the children to have the father to be closer. Don't think I was not that person at one point. And all I thought about was war and fighting and violence because it was the cool, tough guy stuff. That means nothing if my children don't have me not only to serve my family, because that's what the king does. He serves his people. He serves his family. The father, the husband, is the king of the tribe. You better start thinking that way. You're not the one to be served. A king serves others. But for too long, it was about me. It's not. Men, change your ways. If you were anything like me, change your ways now. You're not promised tomorrow. Repent. Turn away from sinning. Repent. Don't play games with God. We're going to read Romans 1 through, I think it's 16, the entire book of Romans. We'll read it in my daddy voice. We'll see how that goes. I think the book of Romans speaks for itself and really doesn't need anyone else to explain it. May the peace of God be with all of you. Be smart in your decisions. Be kind to each other. We don't have long, guys. I'm not saying the sky is falling next year or 10 years or 20 years from now, but in a human way, we don't have long. We're not promised tomorrow. Take advantage of today. Stay frosty.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.